Welcome back to the podcast. On today's episode, it's Gabe, Giannis, and I. We're fresh off a workout, and we're ready to get on a podcast. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, we really appreciate you checking in. If you've been a listener for a long time, we appreciate you as well. On this podcast, it's really our goal to level ourselves up, to learn from other people, to reach our potential in all areas, in particular, as a husband, as a father. And we believe in this idea that we train hard so we can provide and protect. And I don't know what that means to you, Gabe, but let's get ready to get after it. You just beat me in a workout by 20 seconds. So I blame it on the fact that you're a little bit shorter than me.
I love that you opened up with that. Man, I wish we could podcast in person every time. The fact that we also like just got a really good workout in and can like, you know, take that energy and just get flowing in on the pod. That's my favorite setup. If we could do that every time, that would be ideal. But, you know, whenever I'm here, we got to record one in person.
Dude, yeah, we're sitting at a... For those of you who saw the 2014 CrossFit Games, there was a pig that I flipped and many other people flipped. And we're actually sitting at a makeshift desk that was made out of one of those pigs at the gym, which is pretty badass. And dude, well, let's get right into the podcast.
Yeah, man. Let's start with how I beat you in a workout by 20 seconds.
Dude, this was the CrossFit Games open workout. And it was basically snatches and burpees over the dumbbell. And here's what I think. I think for a guy who follows our flex program, I actually think you might be cheating. I think you might not just be following flex because your conditioning is too good to just be doing flex.
Well, here's the thing. Because I was talking to one of our personal trainers downstairs, Justin, about this. Because he asked me, he was like, you know, how many times a week are you doing Metcons? Are you doing like this type of training? And we've talked about this on the podcast before. And I think it's an important point about just training in general. Because if you put in the work for strength, conditioning, like these different kind of facets of fitness, and then maybe you shift your priority and you're not doubling down on them. Like I've noticed this, the proof's in the pudding, man. Like you can maintain some of these other areas, even if you're not like fully focused on them, as long as you're, and I think this is a point that we talked about in one of the Q&A episodes for this month, as long as you're just keeping one foot in the area. Like, am I doing conditioning three times, four times a week? No. But flex, the way I program it, one day is conditioning. And it's a really tough EMOM. And then what I was telling Justin downstairs is there's also other days, especially lower body days. Like the other day, I was doing sets of 20 per leg Bulgarian split squats. And I finish both legs and I feel like I did a Metcon. So am I doing, you know, traditional metabolic conditioning, functional fitness workouts? No. But if you tackle some of these like strength bodybuilding pieces with really high intensity, like, dude, my heart rate is up. I'm breathing super heavy. My muscles are hurting. Like, you don't have to do Fran and Fight Gone Bad and all these, like, you know, old school CrossFit workouts to maintain that. Now, if you're trying to excel in the open, you probably should train that way, dude, the majority of your training. But if you're just trying to maintain, dude, like, you can do it and work on these. Well,
the proof is in the pudding. I mean, dude, you just put up a really good score on that workout. Here's the thing about this workout, and depending on when, you know, you're listening to this, dude, the workout was like, it was definitely favored to a shorter range of motion, but dude, I have no idea how some guys were getting like in the fives or sixes. So I got 808, you got 740, and bro, I mean, yeah, there was like a few seconds I took like a little bit of like a holy crap, like I'm out of breath. But bro,
it's
not
moving. No.
And
yeah.
How the fuck? I do not understand how. I mean, but then again, if I look back and like, I imagine some people when I was really training would probably say that about my scores.
Yeah, but they'd be like, "How did someone do Jackie in whatever time whatever, you did
yeah,
Jackie?"
Yeah. I mean, 504, but no one's counting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but dude, that was a fun. It's fun to record in person. It's also fun to hit that workout. You're actually here. You know, we had Sal Frazilla on the show, and we talked about this idea that his wife was a gangster. And I love the way he talked about it. Like the way he talked about it was like very prideful. Like, dude, my wife is a gangster. And some people might look at that and be like, dude, what are you talking about? Like your wife is obviously not a gangster. She's not fucking, you know, she's not out there, whatever, robbing people. But it's more of a term of affection. It's a term of like, it's a term when I think about it, it embodies like this idea that they are rock hard. They're tough. They're independent. They're hardworking, but they're also like beautiful and just like, I don't know, just gangster. Like when I think about it, right? And I thought about it a lot with my wife because she's hosting Ava's Kitchen tomorrow. You're in town for it. And bro, my wife's a gangster was the thing I was thinking about, like putting on an event while also going through, you know, life's challenges. And anyways, I just thought we could talk about that because I think that men need people like that in their lives, a champion for them. I think Sal did a great job of talking about it. But like a way I'm looking at Ashley now is like, dude, she's a gangster.
Dude, me and you both afterwards were talking about it and how much we loved how he talked about her, Raquel, because it was like, for me, it was like admiration, respect, obviously love, but it was like admiration was like the big thing that like came off. Like he really looks up to how much she gets done and how much of a badass she is, because obviously she's mom and she's wife and those things, but she's out there like crushing it in other areas. And I think that for someone that's, you know, CEO of First Form, a multi seven-figure dollar business, like he has someone at home that he's like, damn, like her game is at this level. Like I need to make sure that my game is really high, because like, it's like training partners, right? It's the same thing. Like if you're constantly training someone that like is fitter than you or like really challenges you, you're going to grow. Now imagine having that with the person that you live with.
100%.
And again, it doesn't have to be specific to fitness. It's specific to just life. Like you have someone that is chasing their goals and trying to be better and like getting a bunch of stuff done, like that's going to make you better.
Today I was, so all the girls were in the garage and, so we're prepping for Ava's kitchen. That's tomorrow. And all the girls are in the garage and they're getting after their workout. And I walk in there and I show them a video that I took and they thought it was creepy. So I decided not to share it online because I'm opening the blind of the house and I'm filming them. And I'm like, look at these ladies getting after it. Let's go. And they're like, bro, that's hella creepy. Like you don't want to put that up online. And, but it was just a really good way to start the day because like you said, like if you have a partner that's inspiring you and motivating you, like, dude, that's only going to level you guys up. And, you know, Ashley, especially this weekend, bro, like Ava's Kitchen, I'm excited to podcast about what we raise and what we do. And I'm excited for you to be there too. But anyways, it's just a really good reminder this morning to like find your gangster. Like, I don't care who it is. It could be guy, girl, indifferent, right? Whatever your partner or whatever, but find that gangster in your life because they're only going to help you reach your potential as well, which is what we're all about.
Yeah. And like, the inspiration, admiration is one piece of it, but also just the like unwavering support has been so huge for me, man. Like last year, so a little bit more than a year from now, right? Like we had always planned that we were going to have Shay, our firstborn, and Ariel got, you know, her maternity leave, but she was going to go back to work, you know, because at that time, you know, everything that we were kind of trying to do, our goals, like kind of required both of us to work. But she went back to work. She was back in it for a month. And, you know, she was like, hey, man, like I don't, she didn't say, hey, man, but we had a talk and she just, you know, wanted to be at home. She wanted to be mom. She wanted to do those things. And for us to make that decision at first was a little scary because, you know, you're taking this thing that you had, you, this amount of income that you had accounted for. And you're like, all right, we're not going to have that.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What things do we have to shift? Whatever. And we've made that change. And in making that change, you know, me now having her unwavering support to do all of the things that like I need to do and me reciprocating that and giving her my support so that she can, you know, be mom and feel that she has to do that and take care of that, I think has been really, really good for us. And not just that side of things, but like, you know, I'm getting my private pilot's license and that requires me to go take these lessons that are, you know, an investment, their time away from them. But, you know, we talked about it and it was something that aligned with what we want to do long-term in terms of like traveling and being to go on these adventures and like whatever. And last week I had to take my written exam for it, right? And I've been studying a lot for it. So, you know, I still have work. I still have all the things that I usually do, but now I need extra time to study for this test. So I'm waking up early in the morning, but I can't be as helpful because I'm like cramming for
it. How long is the test?
I took it last week. I passed. It was like, you have to go to a testing center. It's kind of similar to the level three.
Like a level three.
Yeah, it was similar to the level three in that it was challenging, not because the questions are so tough, but because there's such a breadth of knowledge. Like when you take the level three, the CrossFit level three, it's really tough because you need to know everything from like cholesterol numbers to like spot a flaw in a push jerk. So it's just so much stuff. The pilot's license was very similar in that like you need to know everything from like the different types of clouds to like how to read a weather report to like the actual like, you know, engine pieces of a plane. But anyway, before I forget what I, where I was going. It's been taking me a lot of extra time to prepare for this test. And I'm getting towards the end of like this training that I've been, you know, committing a lot of time to. And so I told her, man, I was like, I really appreciate how supportive you've been through all this. Cause I think it would have been very easy for her to have been like, hey man, like I need you around more.
Yeah.
Like, but she's taking the brunt of, you know, being mom and being at home so that I can work and provide, but I can also go out and do these things. And dude, what she said to me, I actually wrote it down. It was like, it was a really special moment because the way she said it too, she was like, when you win, we win.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn.
It's the gangster, bro.
Dude.
Yeah.
When you win, she was like, of course.
Yeah.
Like when you win, we win.
Dude, I love it, bro. Yeah, man. I mean, and we just got fired up off that Sal Frizzell podcast because we've known him a long time and just the way that he brought it up and obviously the way that you're bringing it up, it's not something like I was thinking about the other day. Like if you want like multiple dating advice, I'm a terrible person to talk to. I met my wife when we were 14 and we've been together ever since. So I am not like that guy. But when it comes to finding somebody and really trying to commit, I do feel like I could talk from experience there. And I think that that should be everybody's goal, man. And it, whoever that is for you, but you should find someone. And you don't have to always get married or whatever, but find someone that you can connect with that could help you say, hey, when you win, we win. Like you just need someone there in your corner, dude. And if you don't have that today, just, you know, take your time and start looking for it. Find the right person.
Dude, can you imagine dating nowadays though?
Bro.
I talked about this with Ariel the other day. Cause you know, we have some friends that, you know, are trying to find that person, man. Like they want it, but it's just such a weird time now with like,
dude,
there's just
instant gratification
and like, oh man.
Sometimes I think you got to take a step back to take a step forward. I mean, that's why I'm so convinced on these train hard men's clubs and going back to the basics, dude. I was having this conversation with Matt Boudreaux, you know, who we found on the podcast, and he's doing a tour, 50 states, 50. I don't know how the hell he's going to do Hawaii, but in either case, they're doing an RV and they're going across the country and they're going to all as many, the Continental 48 or whatever. And they're going to have meetups for their academies.
For schools?
Yeah. For schools. And I just love the idea that he's like, bro, we're kicking it old school. We're getting people together. We're connecting. And that's one of the things, obviously, tomorrow morning we have a men's club workout. And just, it's a really good reminder that in today's day and age, especially online, it must be so hard to meet somebody because everybody's just chasing the next thing, you know? But hopefully over time, the pendulum swings back and people realize, like, they need to still go out and do things in person, you know?
Dude, for sure. Like, everything now is done through a screen digitally. Like, people are, quote unquote, more connected than ever before in that, like, you know, you can talk to someone across the globe, you have a million followers, you can DM anyone, you can, you know, see every single person in your area and swipe left or right. But like, we're also the loneliest we've ever been. We're like, if you ask people, they feel super isolated. Like people aren't getting married, they're not having kids. Like, so clearly like how quote unquote connected we are isn't leading to the positive results that you would want. And I think that, you know, to your point, like it all goes back to like face to face, connecting, like side by side. Like it just, we have to get back to that. And I know that, you know, the COVID-19 and the pandemic kind of like maybe exaggerated the pendulum going in this direction out of necessity, maybe a little bit in the beginning, but now we just have to get back.
It's coming back. It has to. I mean, well, you were listening to the Chris Williamson and Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear them talk about the stick shift?
Yeah.
I can't remember the number they were throwing around. But anyways, they started talking about some of this kind of stuff too, right? On that podcast. But they threw around a statistic. I don't know how I just jumped to this conversation, but
I never know how you jump to a different.
They were talking about, because he's from the UK, right? Mm-hmm. And he was saying that like, he thinks 90% of people there know how to drive a stick shift. And they were having a conversation. How many people do you think in the United States know how to drive a stick shift? This is completely unrelated to connection, but I'm curious, how many people do you think in the United States know how to drive a stick shift car? Because we were talking about this, Mike Glover, I think was mentioning this, like, or no, Tim Kennedy. Dude, if you can't drive a stick shift, like that could be a problem if you needed to drive one.
He brought up a good point that like, you know, we talk so much about preparedness, but potentially not potentially. It's a good point. If you don't know how to stick shift, like that could be a big make or break of like, you know, being able to get from point A to point B if that's the only option that happens. Like you want to deep dive into like, you know, conspiracy rabbit holes. Like so many of like the cars now, if there is whatever, like yeah, electricity goes out, it's all electronics. Like, you know, you got to find something that's old school and then, you know, that's probably stick shift. And then I don't know how to drive stick shift.
You don't know how to drive stick?
Dude,
bro.
I don't. So my dad tried to teach me as a kid. I vividly remember this. He tried to teach me because we had access to a stick shift car and he just like quickly gave up. He was like, oh, whatever. You're not going
to. Dude, what we should do is you should just go rent a stick shift car and just like let it ride. I mean, bro, you give it an hour, 100% you'll learn how to drive it.
Trust me. I feel very confident that I could learn how to do it, especially now. So not to deviate on another sidetrack, but a really interesting thing because I studied.
If you could
fly
a plane, you could drive a stick shift.
That's what I was going to bring up is like the plane thing has been an interesting analogy because a lot of the planes that you learn on are very old planes. Like you learn like the ones that my flight school has, there's one from like 73 and 1983. These are old planes. And you learn how to fly in these planes because you're doing all these things that you have to do that if you were to buy like a, you know, brand new serious
plane.
Yeah,
it's already done.
Dude, like the plane flies itself. Like you don't have to do any of those things. Like it's similar to the newer cars in that it's like a lot of electronics and whatever. And planes are even more manual for safety because if it's a very like just manual engine with very manual parts, there's less things that can go wrong, which obviously you want to avoid when you're in the air. Like a lot of problems that you have now with cars, it's like the electronics of it, like, you know,
yeah, you don't know where to start.
Exactly. You know, you have to go to the mechanic, they like put a sensor in and it like gives you an error code. The planes are very much meant to be so that you can like, if you had to in the air troubleshoot, because you have an understanding of this very simple mechanics of a very mechanical engine. Mm-hmm. So it's a similar analogy in that, like, you know, you want to be able to know how to do it at the most basic level, because that's only going to help you at a more advanced level. But I don't know how to drive stick shift. I should probably learn.
Okay. We're going to, next time I'm in your neck of the woods, we're just going to rent a stick shift car and just go drive. It's just the first gear, bro. Letting out that clutch. And even if you, dude, it's gonna be great. I had a Firebird. I know I had a Trans Am when I was younger. And do you remember, this is going to date me, but Fast and Furious became super popular when I was in high school, I think. Bro, it was super popular in high school. And so we would do, do you remember the movie Fast and Furious?
Of course.
Yeah. So they'd have the
run. You're acting like you're so much older than
okay,
me.
Well, I feel fucking old. And so they used to have the runs where you'd line up the cars and you'd race. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to go to the runs. That's what they called them. It sounds bad now that I say it. Like, it sounds like you have the runs. But I used to go to the runs. And, dude, you just post up your car and I'd have my Trans Am and Ashley would be with me. And we'd watch these cars just race. And then all of a sudden the police.
Did you race?
No.
No.
But I would be there like kind of like, enjoying the race.
You're part of the scene.
I was part of the scene. I was like the people in Fast and Furious that would sprint to the car. So the best part, and Matt Walker would be there too. The best part, bro, the cops would roll up and they just burp, 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 and everybody would just sprint to their cars and he'd be like, whoa. And you'd just be trying to speed up out of there. Anyways, I had a stick shift Trans Am and caught on fire once. dude, so this is unrelated to the podcast, but it's a good life lesson. I got the clutch worked on. And so I take it to this shop and I'm driving it and I get to my buddy's house and I start smelling something. I'm like, dude, something is not right. So we get out of the car and the car catches on flames from underneath the car. So we're at my buddy's house. We put it out and I'm like, bro, this is not right. So we call a tow truck and we drive it back to the shop. And the guy's like, there's no way that what happened here is our fault. I don't know what's going on. So they put it on a lift and my dad's there with me. I'll never forget this. The lift goes up and my car just caught on fire. Like I was freaked out. It was crazy. Flames. So the lift goes up and then sure enough, you see this rag just stuck in like a manifold somewhere. And the rag had oil on it. It got hot. It caught on fire. And then, so it didn't really burn much. They just had to replace a little bit of this and that, but it was the rag that actually caught on fire. That's what was so scary, right? Because you see these flames, you're like, oh shit, this flame shouldn't be happening. Anyways, so it goes up on the thing and I'm thinking like, as soon as I see it, I'm like, oh bro, we're gonna be able to get a free work. We're gonna be able to sue these guys. Like, I don't know why. I'm like, I was like a young high school kid thinking like, oh, we're gonna be able to get some money from this. And my dad's just like, okay, like go ahead and fix it. And we just left. And I was like, Dad, you're not going to like pursue anything. Like, dude, these guys could have killed me, whatever. It's like, Jason, it's not worth it. And we just left. And I was like, damn. And in hindsight, looking back on it now, like maybe he should have gotten like the service for free, but he just didn't want to deal with all the bullshit that would have been involved if trying to pursue anything. But that's my clutch story.
Dude.
Bro, I'm telling you.
I can't imagine my car catching on fire.
And my buddy's house was like hella baller at the time. Yeah. This is his parents' house. And I'm just thinking, dude, if this car blows up and it hurts their house, like that's not good.
No.
No.
Isn't it so interesting how now as an adult, you like revisit some of these moments when you were, a teenager, a kid or whatever. And I feel like there's always like a lesson to be learned about like how your parents dealt with stuff at the time or the advice they gave you or something they said to you. Like even like on the episode we had with Sal and his uncle, when his uncle was telling him the whole thing about like, you know, like,
yeah,
hey, just wait until
you gotta find a queen. Yeah.
Like at the time, there's so many lessons or stuff that like, you know, you're like, yeah, whatever. And they're literally like your parents will tell you, they'll be like, one day you'll realize that like, you know, there's something here. And now it's just so interesting to think back on so many of those things and be like, dang.
I know.
You're so right.
Well, that's why one of the questions I want to start asking guests on the podcast is, what were you convinced of a year ago that you're not so sure about anymore? I think it's a really interesting topic because how many people listening to this podcast right now are convinced on something, right? I don't know. Name the thing, right? Like, what were you hot on for a while?
Dude.
Oat milk?
Like seed oils.
That oat milk was going to fucking kill me. Dude, I just loved an oat milk cappuccino. I'm like, bro, chill the fuck out. I just wanted an oat milk cappuccino.
Dude, I was bought in hook, line, and sinker on this whole, like, there's this world in nutrition that is just so, now looking back on it, I think, like, doing more harm than good and, like, being very fear-based about, like, everything is going to kill you. Seed oils are going to kill you. Like, you know, having a little bit of this is going to kill you. And I've luckily, you know, through actually people that I've followed and podcasts that I've listened to, like really not come completely the other way, but just like acknowledge the fact that like, you know, so much of this is people trying to get you to be so scared about stuff to sell you something. And like the dose is in the poison. And most people just need to chill out and fucking eat more protein and veggies and like stop eating so much crap, but not like avoid things like oat milk at all costs. It's funny because thinking back on it, it was like silly how like, God, oat milk is going to kill you. But like, it's like all you hear when you get into some of these circles of following like, you know, the carnivore diet people and like the soup. And at the time, this was also when we were like full in on like the homestead, like, you know, like grow your own food, which is still an amazing benefit. The fact that like we get our eggs and that our pork were for pigs that we raised and we know what went into that food and whatever. Like, I still think that that's super ideal. And there's so many things that we learned and things that we now want to pass on to our kids that can see like, hey, this is where food comes from. There's so much good there. However, like it doesn't mean that if you buy like supermarket, like versions of these foods, like, oh my God, like this is the worst.
Yeah. Or like that you're a bad person.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many things that people should prioritize before freaking out about like this one ingredient in your ingredient list that like some influencer said is going to like absolutely kill you.
Bro, I'm lactose intolerant and I like the taste of oat milk. And I just remember you giving me shit. I'm like, bro, I just want an espresso drink with oat milk. Like, come on.
Yeah, man. It's funny to think back on that stuff, but you know, I think we mentioned this with Sal. Yeah. It's funny. We keep talking about the Sal Frizzell episode over and over, but that was a really good one. People should definitely go back and listen if they haven't. But that goes under that bucket of, you know, you think you know everything about any topic. And then the more time you spend like deep diving into that, like for me, it's nutrition, right? Like when I first started being passionate about nutrition and trying to like, you know, get as much information and potentially have conversations with people and help them out, like I thought I knew everything. It was like, this is so clear. These are the things you eat. These are the things you don't. You should have raw liver because the Liver King does it. So on and so forth.
Dude, did I tell you I saw the Liver King at SHOT Show? Anyways, no. Keep going. I want to tell you about this.
Yeah. Like you, when I first like started like, you know, dipping my toes into that world, I thought this is obvious. This is everything. And now that I've spent probably, you know, like 3 years really like being obsessed about nutrition and trying to like myself be the healthiest, like most jacked version of myself that I can be. Like, dude, I don't know anything about nutrition. Dude. And all I can do with people now is like share what has worked for me. But I've gotten to the point where like, I have no business telling you, aside from the very obvious things, like how you should eat, what you should eat, what you should avoid. I can always share what's worked for me, but I just, it's so individual from person to person. And I think it's so counterproductive to be like, everyone should avoid these things, dude, and eat these things. And again, aside from the obvious things, right? Like veggies, protein, very good for you.
You probably shouldn't drink soda all day.
You shouldn't have fast food every day. Like you should home cook your meals. Like it's most of the things that like people also just already know.
Yeah, they already know.
But where I think it's, you know, dicey territory is like, you should all do keto. You should all do carnivore.
For sure.
You should all go plant-based. Well, you should avoid this.
And the ripple effect. So like, so dude, I saw the Liver King. So I'm at, and then I want to talk about the Ripple King. Ripple effect. But dude, I'm at SHOT Show and I see Liver King. And I'm like, what's up, bro?
Is he like shirt off? Is he like full Liver King?
I believe he had shirt off, but he was like, he was jacked. He was ready to go, right? Yeah, I think he was either wearing a tank top or whatever.
Ready to go.
And him and his wife were there. And he comes up to me. He's like, Jason. He's like, I'm a big fan, brother. He's like, my boys, they love you. And I'm like, all right, man. Thanks, bro. And I was like, you want me to send him a video? So I sent him a video. But like, dude, he was the most kind and gracious person to me. He was super nice to everybody around him. And that was just like my short Liver King experience at SHOT Show. But he was jacked, super jacked. But back to that ripple effect. You know, when you talk about nutrition, also something that I'm deeply thinking about right now is the ripple effect between what you believe and then how that translates to the rest of your family. And that's something that over the next 6 months, year, 2 years, I really want to dive into. Like I really want to explore, because how can we learn about the things that we talk about nutrition? What impact does that have on our kids? And how do we talk in more of a way that's, because it's tough, man. You start kind of being in your own echo chamber, and then you find other people that feel the exact same way. Like keto is the way to go, let's just say. And then all of a sudden you start talking about it a lot and your kids pick up on that. Then what impact does that have on them later on? And these are the things that I'm heavily interested in today to think about, you know, how do you talk about nutrition and food, which is almost like talking about religion, but talking about it in a way that is constructive with some like ideology behind it. Like you don't want to be like neutral about everything. You want to teach your children yourself about certain foods. Like you probably don't want to eat a whole pizza for all meals every day. But how do you talk about it in a way that leads to the long-term health of your family? That's something I'm really interested in diving into more in the future. But I don't have the answers now. But I think I will. I don't know if I'm at the answers, but I think I'll have more clarity on that through this podcast. We'll be exploring it in the next year or so.
And you know, on that note, I'm super excited. I know that we have a couple of really cool guests coming up. So Thomas DeLauer, really want to dive into nutrition with him. You know, he has a really interesting story himself. And then he talks about on some of the podcasts that I've listened to preparing for when we're going to have this conversation, like he's also turned the corner a little bit. And it was actually him having a son that made him shift from being very like intermittent fasting keto, like this helped me, so it should help you. And similarly, getting to the point where now it's like, I can share what worked for me, but at the end, I can share what the science says and I can share these things. But at the end of the day, like people have to find what works for them. So I really want to talk to him about like that shift and how becoming a dad is what kind of like served as a catalyst. I'm also really excited to talk about Miranda, to talk to Miranda, who's upcoming as a guest. Cause I remember she posted something a while back about how she tried to balance this like idea of like things that her kids shouldn't be eating a lot of. And essentially what it boiled down to, her, what I remember from what she shared, was like not having it in the house, but always making it something okay that happens outside the house, right? So like you can have ice cream, you can have all these things. These things are fine, but there are things that happen when you're outside the house, when you go out to dinner, you know, you go get ice cream. It's just not something that like is in the fridge so that you can at any point go and get it. Like separating the fact that like home-cooked meals are home-cooked meals, that's what we do most of the time. But we also enjoy our time when we're outside and we don't limit ourselves in any way, shape, or form. We just go out and we have the dessert. We go to the good restaurant. We do these things. And to me, that seemed like a really good way to go about it, because you don't want to limit the experiences that you have. Like food is such a social thing, right? Like it's such a, like Ava's Kitchen tomorrow, I'm looking forward to it for many reasons. But one of the things is that it's supposed to be this like amazing culinary experience. Like,
yeah, imagine it connects people, dude.
Imagine me going into that and saying like, well, you know, I'm going to cut. So like, you know, I'm not going to have that or I'm not going to have that. Like that would limit the experience. And I think it would also like dampen the shared experience.
That's
with
right.
People
because you're talking
with.
About the things around you. And that's why food's so tough in most
so
cultures,
tough.
Whether it's the, you know, for me, we come from a culture where like both sides, the Persian and
the
Italian side the is Italian. Like eat, eat, eat. And actually, it's funny we're bringing this up on this podcast because last night we were at a, we were talking about this actually as a family and we were discussing certain things. And one of the things that came up is I was talking to Ashley about it and I was actually talking to Ava about this, that when I was growing up, my grandma did not speak English on my Persian side. She only spoke Farsi and Assyrian. And so I was able to communicate with her a little bit, but for the most part, the way we communicated was through food. Like literally I would go to her house. She would make something, right? Name the thing. And the way that she showed me her love and the way that I showed my love back was by eating it. And then when she saw me eat it, she would instantly put more and more and more. And that was just the way it went, right?
It's the most grandma thing I've ever heard.
Dude,
yeah,
it's
dude,
so
yeah.
grandma.
Yeah.
And what you don't realize growing up is like, okay, that was then. And like, that's fine. But like, what did we learn from that? What type of culture are we trying to set? And food is just, dude, it's such a way to connect people, man. Like, I mean, as of recently, you know, Ava's been in a treatment center now for 2 weeks. We've been at home for one meal. We have not been at home for any meal. We've been at my in-laws every night just because it's the family comes together and we all sit around the table and that's the way it is. And so how do you do that and stay constructive around food? And like, it brings on all these dynamics because it becomes emotional attachment to it, you know, and it's a whole nother layer.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's tough because also, you know, going back to one of the questions that we answered for the March Q&As, like, it also goes back to different members of your family are going to have different, you know, habits and stuff around food, like foods that are quote unquote healthy, unhealthy. And like you said, you know, like I never want to go to my mom's house because my mom very much, you know, she's a big cooker. She loves cooking. And some of this stuff is something that maybe on my own, like I wouldn't eat, but like for me to say like, hey, I'm not going to have this now, whatever, would be something that she wouldn't appreciate. So it's finding, you know, that balance of, you know, you obviously never want to do something. I have a really close relationship with my parents. You never want to do something that's like, oh, I don't want your cooking anymore. But also like, you know, you have your own like, you know, habits and values now and things that you want to eat, things that you don't. So it definitely gets tough. But that's why I think it's so helpful that I've gotten to this point now where it's like, dude, 80, 90% of the time, I'm doing what I know I need to do to look a certain way, feel a certain way. And that's all good. The other 10, 20% doesn't fucking matter.
Doesn't matter.
Like it doesn't matter. Like enjoy it. Chill the F out and just like enjoy it. Like don't dampen the experience for the people around you. Like, and again, there's going to be exceptions, right? Like if you're very strategically like building to a bodybuilding show, but like who's actually doing that? But if you are, then okay, it makes sense. Like you're on a 12-week, like very specific plan to peak at these things, then obviously you're not going to like, you know, go to your Spanish mom's house and like, you know, she's going to feed you all this rice. Like
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But for most people, if you just want to look good, feel good, have great energy levels,
it'll be fine.
It will be fine.
Yeah.
All right, taking a break from the podcast to talk to you about the Train Hard app. If you're listening to this episode, it means you care about training, protecting, and providing, which means that you care about your health, your fitness, and becoming the most capable human being you can, just like me and Jason. Me and Jason use the Train Hard app for our training because there are three programs and it has something regardless of the season in your life you're in. If you have the time and energy and you're trying to be the fittest, strongest human being you can, we have four, strength and conditioning 5 days a week. If life is super busy right now and you need something that's just keeping your momentum from getting to zero, 20, 30 minutes max in the gym, in and out, it has a dumbbell version. If you don't have access to a bunch of equipment, we have the EMOM program. And if you're just trying to be the most jacked dad in the room, work on your body composition, we have the Flex program, which is exactly how I train and the program that I write. So if you haven't already, check the link in the podcast show notes, download the Train Hard app, train hard, but let's get back to the show.
Dude, it'll be fine. And tomorrow, like you said, at Ava's Kitchen, it is a way to connect and discuss the food and stuff like that. But that's what makes it, you know, you know, we'll continue to talk about this on this show. I got to figure out the best way to make an impact on other people by just sharing what I'm learning over the next year. And like, how do you, if you do have someone in the house that wants to eat a certain way and that's important to them, let's just say you had someone in your house, specifically a child, who wants to eat a certain way because it's important to them. Well, you got to figure out why is it important to them and all that. That's a whole nother layer. But if it is, then how do you properly communicate that to your family so that you don't make things worse for them is something that we're going to be exploring in the future. Like, let's just say your child was, you know, very much so adverse to whatever. And then all of a sudden you go to a family outing and people keep pushing different things on them.
Yeah.
It just makes things worse. It's not going to make things better. So then you got to communicate that and all that kind of stuff. Those are things that we'll be discussing on. And then how do you communicate that with your family, especially old school family?
That's what, like, you know, for us, the thing that we've had to, and actually not even had to have conversations, it's actually been the other way around. So obviously me and Ariel, like, you know, we're passionate about fitness, we're passionate about nutrition, we take care of ourselves, you know, but not crazy. We've definitely gotten to a point where I think we have a really good balance, but like our parents know that this stuff is important to us. So in the beginning, when they started watching Shay, especially my mom was always like, can you have bread? Can you have a little bit of this? Can you have a little bit, like almost like, you know, walking on eggshells. And it was a bummer that they thought that that was the case, because for us, it was very much like, he can have anything. Like, he's not spending every day with grandma. Like, obviously to an extent, right? Like, if he's eating nothing but M&Ms when he goes to grandma's, like, maybe we have to have a conversation.
Yeah.
But like, he can have bread. He can have, like, we eat that stuff too. There's just like, it was also interesting because I feel like our parents have this perception of how we deal with food because we're like into health and into fitness, that like they think we're eating like chicken and broccoli and nothing else every day, which is also like just not the case.
Right.
Like, I have an English muffin with butter every morning because I love English butter, like English muffins with butter. Like, to me, that's the best thing. Like,
what's that butter? The green, what type of butter?
Kerrygold?
Kerrygold.
Oh, dude. Kerrygold butter.
Oh my God. Kerrygold butter, dude. Give me some Kerrygold butter.
But it's funny how they have that perception of like, these things must be a no-go with your son, right? Because, you know,
you're into the fitness space.
And it's like, no, like, they can have any of that stuff. Yeah. And it's fine. And you don't have to worry about it because, again, they're kids, they're super active. And again, like, we're not talking about them having candy all the time or whatever, but like, anything else is perfectly, like, what you're eating. Like, I think the biggest thing that we've kind of agreed to now is like, whatever you're eating, he can definitely eat. And
right.
I think that I want him to know that like, he just eats what we eat.
Yeah.
And we eat a certain way that makes us feel good and look a certain way. So if he's eating the same things, then that's the future he'll have.
Yeah. And hopefully, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's the plan. You brought up this idea of the Chris Williamson. It was interesting. I did listen to this on the Joe Rogan. He talked about the serotonin Chris, the dopamine Chris, and the cortisol Chris. How do you find our own balance? So when I listened to it, what was your take on it? Cause you're the one who wanted to talk about this. I think it's an interesting topic.
Yeah. It was interesting, especially because like lately how I like, I haven't gotten social media apps back on my phone, but I think that essentially bringing up this idea that like he felt best when all three of those were in balance. Right. And
yeah.
I think that cortisol is like your stress hormone. I think that's pretty obvious for people, right? Like, you want to keep stress to a minimum. But the interesting thing was finding the balance between like serotonin and dopamine. Dopamine being the things that are like, you know, like quick hits of like feel good, which could be like your phone, which could be potentially alcohol, which could be like indulgent foods. And balancing that with serotonin, I think that like, to me, that's the thing that I needed more of, was like, that's just like spending time.
What examples did you give for serotonin?
Like, you know, just like going on a quiet walk with like you and like, you know, your spouse, possibly, like literally just being chill, just like enjoying the moment for what it is. So not trying to get a quick hit of like, ooh, that feels good, which working out is that too.
Yeah. It's like working out, it's food, it's sex, it's drinking
exactly.
Or drugs.
Yeah. And right? I think that like, you know, especially for people like us, that like working out is such a big part of what we do and it makes us feel good and it gives us energy. Sometimes, and we're, you know, very much like busy go-getters, busy bodies. Like, I think it's very easy to get to the point where you're spending time almost exclusively in cortisol and dopamine.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm stressed, I go work out.
Right.
I'm stressed, I eat something. I stressed and, you know, I check Instagram and post something. And I think that that was where I was starting to lean to. And now, like, finding a kind of better balance, specifically with my phone and trying to be more present with Shay. Like, dude, just like hanging out with him. The other day, we spent 20 minutes and I just sang to him, dude. I was just singing him like songs.
We need to get a recording.
And he was, and he was laughing and whatever. And like, I wasn't worried about like looking at my phone or anything. And it was, dude, it just taking those moments to just like be present and just like enjoy it for what it is. I think I wasn't doing a really good job of that. And I think I'm doing a better job now. Definitely not perfect. But I think that that is important because I can see how I can easily get into this cycle of like dopamine, cortisol, like do, then find a thing that like makes you feel like, ooh, do, then like, you know, kind of hit a dopamine. But just like, you know, going on walks, unplugging, like just taking some time, doing the daily dad meditations I do every morning. All that stuff has been, I think, a really welcome part to everything else I have going on.
Yeah, man. I thought that what he's talking about though is like finding the balance between those different Chris's. I thought was pretty relatable. The serotonin, the dopamine, and cortisol. If you think about it like that, like what you were just saying, I think it makes total sense, man. I enjoyed. I mean, it was a long ass podcast. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I'm like an hour in, and I enjoyed it so far. Are you still off social media? When are you doing? So today's March 1st.
Today's March 1st, man. And I have no interest in getting back into it.
When were you supposed to just do February,
it was,
right?
It was just going to be the month. Yeah. I think that like the next thing that I want to do is like really hold myself to like a screen time.
Does LinkedIn count as social media?
I mean, I never go on it. So I mean, I think it does, but
I know I'm wondering if LinkedIn is a good place for us to like, because like, if people are there, like working professionals,
yeah,
and we want to like grow this idea of like a train hard men's club and like leveling each other up,
maybe. Yeah,
I've been thinking LinkedIn might be a good thing to explore.
Yeah,
might be less like clickbaity and more like conversational.
Yeah,
but I don't know anything about LinkedIn.
Me neither.
I know you can make connections.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the next thing is like figuring out like setting limits to my screen time and just trying to like uphold to that, because I tried to do that before. And then a weekend, I would just like, all you do is hit ignore. How about for
like,
today?
Isn't there like a thing? Like, I feel like, dude, so I tried this, like you make your whole phone gray. Have you seen that?
I tried that too. And it just drove me nuts.
It was weird. Yeah. It was very annoying.
Which is the point. The point is for it to be annoying. So you don't want to look at it, because the way, at least I remember, it was the guy from The Social Dilemma. Who was talking about this, like the way all these apps, like the coloring and all that, is supposed to make it even more like engaging and keep you on. But I remember I turned my phone to black and gray, and I just like it was hard to find the apps, and it just like I got frustrated and I just changed it back.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me too. And then wait, what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, so the CrossFit Open, I wrote this down as something I want to talk about. So CrossFit Open announcement was yesterday. If you guys didn't watch it, I mean, it was typical Dave Casho. I thought it was fun because I know Dave, and I thought it was fun.
Dude, we got to get Dave on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. We should definitely get Dave on the podcast. Yeah, that's for sure. We should do that in person. But yeah, dude, I thought it was good. And then we did the workout today. So it seems like the Open's going well. It's just, it's not as big of a focus for us right now, but I still appreciate the fact that it's getting so many people interested in fitness. For that reason, I think it's incredible. But last night, it was fun to watch him be back in the limelight and make like he like made like these mushrooms. If you're like into the CrossFit space, he was like doing like a full drawing on the board. It was pretty funny,
dude. Dave plays into the like people either love him or they hate him, and he knows that, and he plays into it. And I love it. He won't change a bit, and he shouldn't. Even though like some people will be like, why does he make such a big deal? Like, dude, that's just who he is. And he's unapologetic about who he is. And you have to respect it.
Dude, he's unapologetic. And like, yeah, I think he did a lot for the sport. I think he's going to continue to do a lot for the sport. And CrossFit's got a lot of things he's got to figure out. But I will say that the Open is a very cool thing that they do. It's the largest sporting event in the world.
Yeah. And you know, bringing it full circle to kind of what we started talking about the podcast on. We've been at Aftermath Strength, which is a gym in Seguin, Texas that we ended up coaching at, and now we're a part of it. It hasn't been a year. It's probably been like 6-7 months, I think. So shout out to those guys. But going back to this idea of like in-person connection, man, when we moved out to Texas, you know, we did it because we wanted like a little bit of land. We wanted to stretch out. Like, you know, it had so many other things that we wanted from a lifestyle perspective.
Yeah. Now your property is like five times the cost.
Yeah. Well, that too, it ended up being, it felt like it was a good time to like invest in the area. But anyway, all that aside, the one thing that we didn't realize we were missing until we like changed it was just being around people again, man. Because I would say that all my closest friends, no, 100% all my closest friends are either like the guys that I swam with in college who are back in New York and the people I work with here. Like those I would say like pretty much make up like my closest
friends. Most people you talk to. Yeah.
And none of them are people that I talk to in person. None of them. Like we connect on phone calls, Zoom meetings. Obviously I visit every now and then. And then my New York friends, I'll see them, you know, once in a blue moon when there's like a wedding or we get together for something. And everything else is just digitally. And we didn't realize how much we were missing having like a community and people in person. And since joining the gym, man, it's been so nice to have that again. They threw us a surprise baby shower. Like it's just so nice to have like a tribe again. And it's all connected to fitness. And the reason I'm bringing it up now is, you know, they're doing the open.
Yeah, the
doing
Friday lights. Yeah.
And we're obviously not there this week, but so excited for the next 2 weeks. Like, dude, watching people, especially because like I feel like at least where I am in Texas, it's almost like taking a time machine to where CrossFit was like maybe like 5-6 years ago. Like there's still that very new excitement. There's a lot of people that are new to it that are like in that initial honeymoon stage of like drinking the Kool-Aid and they're like, ah, oh, excited to get the first muscle up. So seeing that again is so much fun. And you know, I obviously don't have time to coach a whole bunch, but I usually coach like Saturday mornings and it's like, dude, it's a packed class.
Well, Saturday morning is a great, people are in good vibe because they're like, they don't have to go to work and they're just like coming in and kicking it and they're staying after all the things.
Dude, it's just so much fun. And we didn't realize how much that was like a part that was missing for us in Texas until we joined the gym. And now we're like, why didn't we do this like 2 years ago?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it goes the same thing. Like if you're listening to this episode and you don't like connect with anybody during really anything except for like on Zoom calls, like, dude, just go down to your local gym, go to join a CrossFit gym, go join a jiu-jitsu gym. I mean, dude, we're all about our Train Hard app. Like we're all about people training hard in their garage because it's convenient. It's very convenient. And we think everybody should be on our app, obviously. However, if you were to ask me, like, if I had to choose, should I be in your app or, you know, meet up with people? I'd be like, if you had to choose, dude, I want you to meet up with people because I want you to be happy. I want you to be fulfilled. Now, could you do both? 100%, right? Like, I want you to have the flexibility to be able to train your garage to be consistent, but also then, you know, once, twice a week or whatever it is, go to your jiu-jitsu gym, go to your local CrossFit gym, go meet a group of guys and hit a, you know, Train Hard men's club type workout, because those are the things that are going to keep you in the game for a long time. You know, I had a call with a friend right before I came here. And a buddy of mine calls me. He's like, hey, I can't come to Ava's kitchen. I'm like, dude, why not? And he had already bought a ticket and everything for him and his wife. He's like, my brother-in-law just had a heart attack. I'm like, fuck. I was like, I'm sorry, man. He's like, you got to go tell all the guys that you talk to that you can't provide anything if you're dead. This is him telling me. He goes, you can't provide for your family. You can't do anything for your family if you're dead. He goes, go out, get your blood work done, and make sure you continue to work out. That was like his message to me to tell everybody else. He was big on like the blood work thing, right? But he just brought up this really thing. He's like, look, dude, this guy, you know, he's in his 50s. Like, that's why we train hard. That's why we get after it. And that's why you should go get your blood work done, is so you can be able to be there for your family. And if you surrounding yourself with other people, whether it's on the weekends, whether it's whatever, keeps you on that path for longer, like, bro, that's the way to go.
100%, man. I think that's a perfect place to cap it off. That's it right there, man.
Well,
you can't provide, dude.
If you're not around.
You know, we take it for granted because this is just a part of our lives. And obviously, you know, we're healthy and like, I don't ever see that changing because it's just like, it's a habit, man. Like I can never see myself not training. If I go 3-4 days because like, you know, I caught a bug or something, I'm like, the thing I'm most excited about is getting healthy so I can go train again. But man, for anyone out there just like that maybe is in a rut or, you know, took a year off or whatever, dude, it's the most selfless thing you can do for the people around you is take care of your own health,
dude,
for that exact reason. If you're healthy, if you're vibrant, if you're living a long time, dude, that's just going to help everyone that counts on you, period.
Dude. Love it. Well, hey guys, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to go back, check out the other episodes. We have long form, we have short form, we have the Q&A episodes. If you have questions, send them in. Check out the podcast show notes. And dude, we would really appreciate a rating or review. Mr. Gabe Yanez, let's keep getting after it.
We got some great guests coming up too.